Okay. So, this is basically about practical aspects of records conservation and recovery. Being a conservator, I will end up talking a lot more about how to prevent a disaster from happening than what to effectively do after it happens. We could go into salvaging and, you know, dry things this way and hang your pamphlets, you know, on lines that you've made up on the whole of your building. But with a bit of luck, we'll never get there. So I'm kind of gearing towards that. What's an emergency? It's an unforeseen event that has destructive consequences. They can be big, they can be small, they can be slow, they can be fast. But basically, they will affect your core business and your core records to a greater or lesser degree. There's two basic things there. We'll go through them as we move ahead. But it's the whole thing about scale. You know, it's not how many boxes got wet, it's how crucial were they to your operation. What was actually in them? If you have, you know, journals getting wet, it could be a disaster because they're coated and they will stick together and they will break and you'll never get them apart. But on the other hand, maybe you can get new prints off them. So it's not too bad. It's that tossing out how terrible it is rather than how big or how small. Many big volume-wise disasters can be sorted out in a very relatively short amount of time with, you know, not much pain involved. And other ones that are very little will take a lot longer. And another thing, they can be a sudden and catastrophic occurrence, or they can just build up slowly over time without you noticing until one day you realize that, oh yeah, that pipe there has been leaking for 5 years and we never moved. And now we have, you know, 35, 50 boxes that are wet and they get wheeled into my lab and then we have problems. Anyhow, some of the disasters can be natural events, floods, hurricanes, tornadoes, part of your roof blows up, the rain falls at a, you know, ungodly angle and just goes into your building. They can be industrial accidents. They're not as common, but, you know, spills and horrible things do happen outside your site that can affect you. You can have technological disasters. I am absolutely not going there today. The guys at DG can tell you all about them later. They can tell you all about how to fix them, not me. You always have cases of criminal behavior, someone, you know, stealing your records or purposefully damaging them. It's been known to happen, especially they're on their way, you know, to cause or things like that. Boxes do go missing or, you know, casually fall off the side of the truck that is transporting them. And then you have the most common by far, you have structural or building damage. Again, the pipe that's leaking, and you know, you have more often than not, there are floods, or you have your sprinklers going off, even, you know, by accident. And everybody knows that in the case of most disasters, what you end up dealing with is water damage. You have a small or big fire, your sprinklers will go off, you will have water damage. For many, many things, their response involves water. So no matter what your disaster was, the end of the day will be you dealing with a room full of very wet, sooty, dirty, muddy paper, which is what, you know, most fire records are made of. Then, of course, you have the two very, very slow things that I will talk about today, which are the storage conditions that your records live in were really not suitable for them. And, you know, most agencies have to deal with whatever record storage room they were dealt. And many, many times they are far from ideal, but that's what you have. So you have to make it work as best as you possibly can. And then you have the ever-present decay of materials. It depends, you need to know what's in your storage area because some materials will age better than others. If you have, you know, a room full of film, well, some kinds of film will degrade all on their own and will turn to vinegar, and there is not much you can do. So you need to prevent them from, you know, disintegrating in your very hands. You have many other materials that will not age very gracefully, and you have many materials that are very fragile if you have lots of glass plate negatives. They need a different level of care than the rest of your collection does. Okay. So going into what you can do to prevent your damage from happening. So first and foremost, whatever you have in your breakage area that you can get rid of, do. I know, this is very hard, and every time we go on site visits, we've been trying for years to transfer and we don't quite get there. You know, whatever you can lay in our hands, we'll take care of it. If we flat, it's not your problem, it's our problem, and we'll deal with it. So the clearer your decks are, the happier you will be. Another thing you can do, what can be disposed of? Many, many times, things that could have been destroyed 10 years ago are still there. Which, mind you, from my point of view, is quite lovely, because I've had occasions. I remember one day, I think it was you, Sally, many, many years ago, that walked into the lab and said, oh, we found all of these boxes, you know, on stage two, and it turns out that they've been moldy, and, you know, that they need a lot of help, and we've just noticed them. What do we do? So I go and have a look. It's about 100 boxes. I'm thinking, how long is this going to take? How am I going to fit these in my daily life to get these boxes to a place they need to be in? And then it's the lovely, hang on a second, let's see, you know, can we destroy this? And it turned out, of course, they could have been destroyed 10 years ago. Only the agency didn't know, and we weren't instructed to destroy. So things were there. So in many, many cases, if you can get rid of it before it gets damaged, it's perfect, because you unclog your record area and you shift the problem onto someone else. And also, it's very useful if disasters have indeed happened. It's good to know what you have, because that way you can just walk in and get rid and destroy whatever could be destroyed. And you don't need to salvage that. That is off your hands and in somebody else's. Very basic, very boring, but it's really a cornerstone of record keeping. You need to improve your conditions. As I said before, you are dealt whatever room you are dealt to put your records in. But there are quite a few things that you can do. With paper and organic materials, it all goes back to humidity and temperature. Paper likes to be in more or less these conditions, 20 degrees, 50% humidity. Paper is very happy there. It doesn't enjoy the changes because it absorbs and it releases humidity all the time. It's a bit like your hair. Your hair goes fizzy in a wet day. It does. And then it goes lank, you know, or limp in a dry day. All of your collections are doing exactly that same thing all the time. If you have too much humidity, that will cause trouble in the long run, and that goes back to the natural decay of the papers and all the materials you have in your collection. Film is doing the same thing. Photographic materials, you have no idea. They absorb and they release and they change shapes and they stick to each other, and then one day you open your box and it is a block of, you know, colored bits of emulsion, and it is incredibly hard to fix. So everything you can do to control your temperature and your humidity is a good thing. I will find, you know, it will be all throughout the presentation. But one of the key things that you can do is that you make sure that air is circulating throughout your storage areas. There's many ways of doing that. For example, the little blue thing that you see there is a data logger. We have them all around our site in Kingswood. We want to know what is happening in the building. Are we in the nice Goldilocks zone of temperature, or have we drifted away? What is the drift away? Anything about 60% humidity leads to trouble. Mould will start blossoming after 60% humidity. Pests love it in over 60% humidity conditions. So really, if you have a really wet building, you keep an eye out, you put a couple of those in, and then you can download your graph, and you know what's been happening when you're not there. You know if the air conditioning kicks off at the end of the day, what is happening in that room? You know how crazy are things getting? Oh, many, many times, there is no air conditioning in there at all. So if you see what is going on, and you notice that, you know, it gets super hot at 7 in the morning, 8, 9, 10, maybe you put an awning outside and you shade that side of the building a little bit. and that will lower down the spikes on your grass. And that is an excellent thing to do. Or you will notice that, you know, you have three windows in your storage space, which is not the ideal situation. So can I block out those windows? Can I make sure they have proper seals under them? What can I do to have those spikes ease out? If you notice that you have a couple of spikes in humidity at some point during the day, you can put a couple of fans in your room. You can put them on timers. They will kick in at, you know, 7 p.m. when the aircon goes out, and then they will finish at 10 when things tend to, you know, ease out. So by running that on a timer 3 hours every day, you might make everything a lot more record-friendly and prevent these horrible slow decay disasters from happening. And mind you, a mild outbreak is a disaster. A pest infestation is a disaster. There were, you know, no pipes burst and nothing earth-shattering happened. But, you know, you had a colony of silverfish in that shelving over there. And that is going to be very hard to fix. And that qualifies as disaster. If it looks like that, in some agencies it did look like that, because that's what I talked about. There is a lot you can do. For example, all of those boxes that are on the floor and against the wall, you can move them, even if it's 20 meters, 20 centimeters away from the wall. That way, air circulates and things don't linger. Mound, you know, it is floating around, but it needs the right conditions and it needs the quiet to settle. If you have your air moving, mound cannot settle and colonize your records. So, you know, it's worth giving it a go. Another thing, all of those files just sitting there on a shelf, it is really very easy to box them. Unless you are using them constantly, any box will do. Bunnings boxes will do the trick better than that. So you box them away, and then if your sprinklers do go off, most of the damage will be taken by the box. And you get rid of the box in a real time. As usual, I'm going ahead of myself. But things you can do. You can improve your shelving. You can improve your housing, again back to the boxes that I was talking about, and you need to keep a lookout for pests. Going again to ugly photos, the one on the left, it's one of our own shelving. We realized that the brackets holding our shelves up were collapsing because they were not strong enough. And once one of those goes, your shelf falls, your shelf, you know, in that case, those happen to be very close to the glass plate negative boxes. You don't want to know what it would look like if that actually gives way and all of your glass natives crash to the ground. And then, you know, that shelf will take the next shelf and will take the next shelf, and then you have a humongous disaster in your place that you really could have fixed just by walking around and keeping an eye out. It is crucial to walk around your record collection. You know, every time it rains, we are lucky because we have people retrieving and collecting records all the time. So, you know, if suddenly there's a little pool of water on the ground, we will see it. But we have a couple of members of staff that after every weather event will walk around the building. And, you know, in time you remember where your cracks were. And, you know, I sense that draft there. Where is that coming from? You will start noticing things only because you are present. If there's a pile of dust where it wasn't before, where did that come from? And then you start digging. Another example, the first one that is a bit hard to see, but what you have there is cobwebs. So you have the shelving that's away from the wall, the way it should be, but then our boxes got pushed in. So the air wasn't moving. So it got a bit dark and it got a bit humid, and the spiders very quickly made a home there. Now spiders are not really a threat to paper-based collections. But something else will be that will decide to eat the spiders. Or, you know, they will start building. You know, the same conditions that allow spiders to live there will allow anything else to live there too. So, you know that something is going wrong. The other photograph there, you can see the amount of debris on top of that box. What was happening? Our shelving, we had too much. So we had to keep going. You know, our shelving finished about a meter from the wall. But we put some other shelves there, and you can see they're made of, you know, that wood compound, which is so far from ideal for record storage. And it went straight to the wall, and we just piled it more because we needed the space. And what happened, insects very, very quickly moved in. So we had to remove all of that because it wasn't worth the risk that it posed. Going back to the housing and the boxing that I was telling you about, this is fire damage. We got a whole lot of boxes transferred to us after a disaster. And what you find is that you see all the boxes are damaged and burned and wet, but what's in the boxes, in many, many cases, was absolutely fine because the boxes, again, took the brunt of the damage. So it is really worthwhile to box things away. Many things that I've been talking about before. If you're walking around your building and you notice debris is normally caused by insects. They have moved in the building and they start munching on things and they make a mess. And that mess will fall on the ground normally or will sit on the shelves. And if you have a keen eye out, you will notice that debris. And then you will wonder, where is it coming from? And you'll start opening boxes. And you will find it long before it does a lot of damage. If you never walk down that end, those silverfish will be eating away and the cockroaches will be eating away your records for quite some time before anybody sees that. Again, you watch for water. Is there a new pond? Why is that there? Do we have a crack on the ceiling? Do we have a faulty pipe? Is one of our sprinklers going a bit crazy? What do we do before it gets horrible? More horrible shots of pests in these caves. Walking around looking for debris, we found it. There were insects in the place. And then one of our retrievers found that spiders had moved onto this section of shelving because air hadn't been circulating properly. So we installed a couple of fans on that cell. We had them running on timers for a couple of months, and the problem simply went away before it could get too big. You have more insects because, again, you see the boxes are flush on the ground, and they're also flush against the wall. And that's the problem of the air circulating. But also, if the sprinklers go off in that cell and my records are all lying on the floor, they will get wet immediately. So, you know what, if you can, give 10, 15 centimeters of air. Have milk crates. You know, one of the ones for bread that are nice and flat, those will do the trick. You put that, you put a bit of board on top, you put your records. Now, if you're flat, at least you are 15 centimeters in the clear before all your boxes get wet and float away merrily. We have a couple of instances where we have to store things temporarily out of the shelving. So we put three empty shelves on the floor. So we are effectively off the ground, and then we can do things like this. The one that you see up top, that was a slow leak. We had a crack in the concrete ceiling. That you see is the top of the shelf. So taking that photo, I am up a ladder and flush against the roof. And I'm looking at the top of the shelves because one day we want to remove boxes and the boxes were stuck. It wouldn't come off, it's stuck to the shelves. Because we had that slow leak, it was so slow that it was coming with all the salts and all the things from within the concrete that pulled up there. We actually had a few stalactites in the ceiling. It was brilliant. And then whatever wasn't caught by the top of the shelf just kept trickling through the back of the shelf and into the boxes. Again, it was so slow that most of it dried away before it could do much damage because we control our humidity. So it never got to the point where mold started to grow and things got really ugly because conditions were not ripe for mold to blossom. But yes, with all the other things, the box is stuck, and then they had to be unstuck, and then the shelving needed treatment, and then, you know, it became a lot bigger than it needed to be. If we just know that the leak was there, every building has them. We have many leaks. I know quite a few. And then when you know, we have big weather events, you just go and have a look. Did it leak this time? Do I need to move these boxes away? I move them 20 minutes away, 20 meters, you know, away from the pipe. And if the pipe bursts, it will not burst on top of my shelving. It will burst on the side of my shelving. Disaster averted. And then, it's not glamorous, but it will save you a lot of time and trouble. Little glue traps. You buy them off Bunnings. They are about $2 each. Only thing, you can buy the ones that say, we have pheromones, we attract insects. And you can buy the normal ones. Just buy the normal ones. Don't advertise. Don't leave you or the cockroach into your building and into your glue trap. Just leave the cockroaches be. But if they are walking around your building, they will stumble upon your glue trap eventually. And every, I don't know, 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, you walk around and have a look. What got stuck in your glue, in the glue trap? If you have instances of mice, then you know, mice can be a humongous problem for paper. But you know that there is a very big hole that mice are getting in through. So you may have to put new seals on the adults and prevent mice from coming in. If you start finding cockroaches, then you can isolate the area. Where was the cockroach? Do I think it just came out of the road right now? Or are they nesting in that shelving right next to it? You know, you go and inspect the shelving. If you're not sure, you can do a perimeter spray. You grab your mortine and you walk around your shelving doing a perimeter of mortine on the ground. The insects will have to come out of the box, go through the floor to move to the next lot of shelving, and they will go through your line and they will die and you will find them. And at least you're containing it. It's not spreading madly through all your storage. It's sitting there where you can do something about it. All of this is in place. You are controlling your humidity. You are taking every precaution you can possibly take. Things can still go wrong. So what do? You keep your disaster bins. One of your handouts is possible contents of a disaster bin. Everything that you think might come in handy to mop up spills, to transport wet paper, you need crates because boxes will be wet. If you pick them up, they will fall apart on you. So you put them on top of something. You need mops to clean up your spills. We've lately introduced the absorbent material. You can buy, they're made of nappy feeling, it's some type of cellulose. And you can buy them as cushions or as long snakes, and they will absorb and contain spills for you. They are absolutely brilliant. You need to have lots of blotting paper. And you know, all of the supplies that you can see there, you need to be able to label things. What is this material that I've just plucked off the ground? What box did it come from? Where in the building did it used to live? I need to know what it was so I can put it back where it needs to be. Another thing that is very important to know is where am I going to take these wet boxes if they do indeed happen? You know, we have a disaster room. So if anything gets wet, anybody in the building knows to put it in a trolley and bring it to our disaster room. And then we'll deal with it and we'll dry. Know in your head and write it down, because it will not come to you once you're in the presence of the 20 wet boxes. Know what is a suitable place. Is it an outdoor covered area? Is it an empty room? Is it where can you house and spread out and salvage things? Because once you know that it's safe to go in and the, you know, the fire is and everybody else, the emergency personnel will effectively allow you to go in, you need to know that mold will start to blossom and become an issue within 48 to 72 hours. So whatever you're going to do to salvage your wet records needs to start happening before that. What do I mean by that? You need to get your wet material out of the area that has no power and no air conditioning and very unsuitable conditions onto wherever your salvage room would be. That would preferably be air conditioned so you can keep your humidity under 60%. If you keep your humidity under 60%, mold will not start to grow, and that gives you a lot more time. You can keep the air conditioning running. You can use portable air conditionings. You can hire dehumidifiers, which is absolutely ideal, if you possibly can. And you keep them running 24 hours a day. You go through your wet material, you interleave, you spread, you air things out, and you keep that dehumidifier running. And it's taking all of the moisture that's coming out of your paper away from your building. Again, as I said before, dispose of whatever you can dispose of. We got a phone call from the hospital. One of their record vaults got flooded a couple of weeks ago. And they called me to say, oh, so I have a lot of things that, you know, are printouts of things, and I can always reprint them. do I need to salvage those? Well, no. No, you don't. Throw them in the bin and worry about something else. So that is the kind of thing you may want to know before it happens. Because this person is, you know, with 24 hours into the clock already. And now it came to her. You know, maybe some of these can go. If some of these can go, you want to know before, so it goes straight away. Again, prioritize. You know what I was saying? It's not about how much damage. It's about what it affects. You want to save your critical things first. The things that, you know, you cannot operate without, you need to get to first. Regardless of how everything else is going, you want to get to those. And every time there's a disaster, there's talk about freezing. Oh, do I just freeze everything? Yes, by all means. You can freeze everything, but you can freeze a lot. Now, eventually, it comes out of the freezer, and it needs salvaging anyway. So it's not a panacea. Oh, now it's in the freezer, you know, I can forget about that thing. No, you have to remember and get it out of the freezer and spend many, many hours salvaging it. So it's only, you know, it will buy you time, but not much more than that. Again, with the boxing, but it is really quite important. This was a transfer of probate packets. They left Supreme Court in a truck. The truck, for some reason, never made it to us. It was parked somewhere over the weekend. And, of course, over the weekend it rained. So everything got to us, and we found that. You know, at our loading dock, Monday, 8 in the morning, as you walk in fresh from your weekend, oh, yeah, we had this issue, you know. So, as you can see, many, many of the boxes were wet, but clearly the floor of the truck had got wet, so some of the water started going in through the corrugated board. And the corrugated board took most of the brunt of that water. So once we opened them, the salvage wasn't actually too bad. That is the same in our drying room. If you see, many of the packets didn't even need to be opened. They were slightly damp and everything was okay. For the rest of them, we just opened them up, aired them for a couple of days, ran our fan and ran our dehumidifier, and in about a week, we were home free. It was about 14 boxes and nothing terrible came out of them. If, you know, 5 more days had gone by, it would be a completely different story altogether. Again, medical records, they have a way of getting wet. These, again, I can't remember what hospital or what they were, but they got wet and many of the materials got stuck because many kinds of medical records have, you know, fax paper and ultrasound results, all of that paper that is coated. It has a coat of something plaster-like on top of it. And if it gets wet, it will stick to each other. That's why what you see there, first we need to get rid of the mold that had started to blossom already. So all of this is happening inside a pupil that ventilates to the outside, so we are not breathing in the mold. You can only treat a limited amount of things, because the pupil is only that big. I can fit 8 files in it, and the rest have to wait. And what we had to do was deal with the mold, and then we needed to separate all the papers before they go dried, because once they get dry, they block together, and there is no separating them. So that's why you see all of these little papers in there. I had to go and interleave every single page so that they wouldn't stick to each other and they would dry more quickly. And that's one of the bases of wet paper salvaging. You get your files out of the box and you start putting paper towel or butcher's paper or non-printed newsprint, which is on all of your list. You have a stack of kitchen roll. And if something gets wet, you just start putting one sheet of kitchen roll in between every page. And then you fill your room. We had a little salvage a while ago. So we recruited someone else that had never done it before. We said, okay, you know, you start there, and you start interleaving and make your way around the room, you know, all through the benches that we had set up. And she trembles, and, you know, she interleaves away. And then she gets to the end. It's okay, I'm finished. Okay, now you start again. So you move back to the beginning of the room, and you do it all again. Because all your interleaving paper is slightly wet. And then you go, and then you come back to where you started, and then you go, until it's all dry and you're finished. So really, it's on your own best interest to not let it get wet in the first place.
and I think that's a parting shot because I couldn't resist. But yeah, that is fire and water. Some of the things that were not books that are completely charred away and have gone through a lot of damage, and some, you know, more or less, and you know, the ones in the bottom were probably a bit further away. So there will be a bit of smoke damage, and they will smell for a while and they will need airing. But the salvage itself on some of the things will not be too bad, and on some of the others that were not protected will take quite some time. And that's the thing, once it got burned or it got wet, you will effectively lose part of that record. And you know, it could be the crucial bit that you really, really wanted, or the important bit of information that was required. And there is nothing you can do. Once it's gone, it's gone. Oh, parting shot. As I said before, you can freeze many things. There are a few things you cannot freeze. Most salvage companies will know exactly what to put in a freezer and what not to put in a freezer. But as a rule, anything that has moving image or audio, you know, a film with an emulsion on top, with a carrier stuck to plastic, does not like to be frozen. In many cases, it can actually stay wet. You know, your microfilm rolls and your videotapes and your computer tapes and your audio and videotapes can actually stay wet for quite a few days, effectively wet, in a bucket without caring. It's the moment they come out of the bucket that problems start to happen. So, you know, something to help. And all of your discs, do not freeze your discs, but they are really quite easy to dry. Keep them upright if you can and just leave them be, and they will dry all on their own and they will be okay. And again, photos and negatives, they are a complicated bunch. Some photographic processes can be frozen, some cannot, some types of negatives can go in the freezer, some cannot, unless you know exactly what you're talking about. Don't freeze any photographic materials, as a matter of course. And I'm sorry, I can't go into salvage and what to do with every single material, because I think I'm over my time.